This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Tennessee Congressman Phil Rowe, a freshman representing the Volunteer State's 1st Congressional District. He's a Republican and a member of the House Education and Labor Committee, and for more than 30 years, a practicing physician in East Tennessee. We want to get his latest thoughts on the healthcare debate, including reports that Democrats may be setting aside $250 billion in separate legislation so the total price tag of the actual health reform bill doesn't negatively impact the deficit. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, Greg, thanks very much for having me on.
Sir, let's start with the issue I mentioned in the introduction. It's a little bit complicated. Explain for our listeners exactly how this accounting rearranging is working here.
Well, Greg, let's frame this for our listeners today so they'll have a little better understanding about what the issue really is. When we're looking at health care reform, we're looking at a bill that's somewhere, a cost that's somewhere around $1 trillion, and if this is a House bill and the Senate bill. The way the Senate bill, and they spent a lot of time working on it, my hat's off to them for doing that, when they looked at how they made this budget gimmickry work was to next year have a 0.5% increase for Medicare reimbursement payments to physicians, but in 2011, reduce it by 25%. Well, I can tell you, if you take out $400 billion out of the Medicare program, you add 3 to 3.5 million Medicare recipients. These are baby boomers that are going to start in 2011, and you cut Medicare reimbursements for physicians by 25%, I can tell you three things will happen. One is access will go down, two, quality will go down, and three, costs will go up for our Medicare patients. So what they're trying to do is another, which is to me disingenuous, is to take the Medicare, the physician payments out of this and say, oh gosh, we've got a bill that now that doesn't increase the deficit at all. Well, why don't you just take the hospital reimbursements out too and the Medicare Part D and all the other? I can make it cost zero if you do that.
Congressman, what does that suggest to you that they're perhaps willing to go down that road to make the numbers work?
The bill comes due whether you include it in a separate bill or whether you include it in the health care reform bill. The taxpayers still have to pay the bill. And what we've looked at in Tennessee is through our TennCare program and through this current program here that the Senate is talking about, if it were implemented, the unfunded mandate to the state of Tennessee would be as much as $735 million over 5 years. And if reimbursements were the same as Medicare payments, it could be as much as $3 billion. So states don't have the money right now. And in the state of Tennessee, we've had to cut off enrollment of the state children's health insurance plan. In Tennessee, it's called Cover Kids, because the state doesn't have the money. And what they're doing is not only are they not paying the bills here, they're shifting some of the costs that you don't see down to the state level.
Congressman, when you were home over the summer and when you go home on weekends and talk to your constituents, there's so many aspects about this bill that have people debating and concerned about what the impact would actually be. There's the cost, there's the addition to the deficit, there's the expansion of government control into health care, there's the different access to care and so forth issues. What do your constituents bring up most when they talk to you about health care?
What they're worried about, and they are worried, because first of all, the complexity of this, they don't understand the debate. It is hard to understand when it's a moving target. It changes every day, it seems like. And what they're concerned is they're afraid they'll lose their access to their doctor. They're worried that the patient, the family, and the doctors won't be making the health care decisions. And they're worried in my district in Tennessee about more government intrusion into their lives. They want to make those personal decisions themselves, and they want the government out of it. And I think they've looked around at England and Canada and other countries that have a single-payer system. And Greg, anywhere in the world that the government has run the health care system, where it's the government through tax dollars pays for your health care, care is rationed. I mean, it just happens. You always have more demand for services chasing not enough dollars. And that's what's happened everywhere else in the world. It'll happen here also.
Congressman, during your years as a practicing physician, and we should point out that you've delivered nearly 5,000 babies in your medical career, what frustrated you when you were looking at this from the medical perspective and you were thinking, this has got to change? What were those things? What needs to change from the medical perspective?
From the medical perspective, a couple of things. One is the insurers have gone. They're going to have to change. There's no question of private insurers. Greg, one of the last cases I did in the operating room, It took me almost as long to get the case approved as it did doing a major case. That's ridiculous. So there's going to have to be some transparency and some change in the private health insurance business. There's no question about that. But, Greg, the problem that occurs in public plans, you hear about public options and so forth. We tried that in Tennessee. It was called TennCare. And what happens is it never pays the cost of actually providing the care. You never hear that discussed. We're giving the care, but we're not paying the cost of it. In Tennessee, it paid less than 60 cents on the dollar of our public option did, our TennCare did. Medicare pays somewhere between 80 and 90 cents on the dollar actually paying for the care. And that means that all those costs are shifted to private insurers, forcing those costs up for you and I that have private health insurance. The other challenge that I see out there and the fear that I see, and I have myself, is the fear that we'll lose, if we lose our job, we'll lose our health insurance coverage. And that's a legitimate fear. And that's one of the things I think we could easily take care of. I think we could sit down with the president and with the Democrats and with the Republicans, because health care is not and should not be a partisan issue. It's not a Democrat or Republican issue. It's a people issue. And I say this in all sincerity. As a surgeon, I never took a Republican or a Democrat cancer out of anybody. I just took a cancer out. I never saw a Republican or Democrat heart attack. These are just problems that people have. And we could solve the problems of portability, allowing someone to keep their insurance, pre-existing conditions, and group health insurance plans. That's not a problem. And one of the ways you can make sure that you have more group health insurance plans is take out state boundaries. I mean, why in the world can you and I go buy car insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance across state lines, but we can't purchase health insurance across state lines? It makes no sense.
Congressman, I know your time is short, sir. I thank you so much for being with us and helping us understand all the different dimensions of this issue, especially what we're hearing lately in terms of how the cost might be shifted around to make the books look a little better, but it sounds like there's still going to be quite a bit of red ink out there.
What are you hearing on your show in the call-ins?
It's clear that, from the response we get to our online postings, that any new wrinkle here which smacks of less control over your own health care is not popular.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's what I hear when I go home. And people are worried because of this moving target. They don't know what they don't know what they're talking about. Unfortunately, I don't know what the president's talking about now. I don't know what he wants. So it would be nice if we knew what the president would want. And I don't think anyone really knows. We met with HHS Secretary Sebelius last week, and when I left that meeting, I wasn't clear at all what the president's concepts for care was. He doesn't have a plan. She said he had concepts, and I thought, well, what are they? What concepts do you really feel you need? And so it is confusing for people.
Congressman, you're so good with your time today, sir. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Greg. See you now.
Absolutely. Tennessee Congressman Philip Rowe, he is a longtime practicing physician. Now he represents Tennessee's 1st Congressional District in the House of Representatives, also a member of the House Education and Labor Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.